Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day, dads.
All right.
Thank you. And while, you know, there probably won't be any record set today for long-distance phone calls to dads, or maybe, you know, they won't have all those sentimental cards flying off the shelves to dads like they do for Mother's Day, and you probably won't get a bouquet of flowers like moms do, and I mean, no one gave me a corsage or anything like that. But anyway, it's still a great day today because it's not only Father's Day, it's the Father's Day, it's the Lord's Day, and because of that, we'll rejoice and we'll be glad in it. All right. Well, you know, we haven't really done one of these in a long time. Actually, I'm not sure if I've ever really done one here, so here is a top 10 list to start things off today. And this is the top 10 things you learned from your father. Okay? Top 10 things you learned from your father. Starting with number 10, our fathers taught us that when, you know, he was your age, kids had to walk 6 miles to school in the snow, in the rain, uphill, both ways. Exactly, yeah. Number 9, barefoot, yeah. Over glass. Okay. Number 9. Number 9, if he had acted like you, his father would have knocked him into the middle of next week. Number 8, when he was your age, kids had to make their own fun. Number 7, you weren't born in a barn. Number 6, when he was your age, he had to work for what he got. Number 5, you don't want to make dad stop the car. Number 4, because I said so is a reason that makes perfect sense to an adult. Number 3, you better stop crying or I'll give you a reason to cry. Like you didn't have one already. And number 2, you'd lose your head if it wasn't screwed on, you know, wasn't attached. And the number 1 thing that you learn from your father is that money doesn't grow on trees. But you probably think it does. Of course, there are a lot of things that we've probably learned from our fathers that aren't on that list and everything. And there are a lot of things we've learned. Here's some encouraging news about dads, actually. The National Center for Fathering has recently declared that a fatherhood awakening is really upon us, citing all kinds of evidence that men are rediscovering what it means to really be a father. And there are 2 rather surprising facts about this. The first is that in the past 25 years, the number of dads present at their children's births has actually risen from about 27% to around 90% today. And the second thing that leads us to think this is that more than 75% of men said that they would trade rapid career advancement for more time with their families. In other words, dads really want to stay with their families. And that's great news, really, for our families today. But even with all that good news, now you see other reports, like in various news magazines and whatnot, that say that fatherhood is one of those occupations that will disappear by the end of the 21st century, noting that between things like in vitro fertilization and cloning, dads could become dinosaurs, just kind of become extinct, you know. Now, from what I've seen, it seems that, you know, men really do want to be good dads more than ever nowadays, but while they really want to be, they don't seem to be changing that much. And so when the good news is combined with the bad news, it seems that fatherhood in the United States is poised either for a great awakening or a gory collapse. And hopefully it's not the gory collapse. Think about it, though. We're either headed towards some sort of spiritual stirring among dads in our nation, or we're looking at becoming an endangered species, you know. And while most Americans haven't really bought into that whole daddies or dinosaurs thing, it seems to me that there's a growing ambivalence about the importance of fathers in our culture. And I think we've seen that growing ever since maybe even the 50s, but I'm pointing back to the late 60s. So as Christian people, we need to come back to a biblical theology of fatherhood. And that's because God very clearly says that dads are to be difference makers. We're to make a difference by leading and loving our wives and children. And so through prayer and the study of God's word, prayerfully, we will experience a great spiritual awakening among the men of our nation in both our person and our parenting. In that way, we can be men of courage. We can be courageous men, fathers, and husbands. And that's the whole idea behind this Friday night's movie night, Courageous. And we showed this movie back when it was first released in January, and we're going to watch it again this Friday night because it is such a powerful movie about being the spiritual leader that men need to be in their family. And if you did pick up a copy of the sermon notes, on the back, you'll find a copy of what the men sign in the movie called The Resolution. So if you have a copy of that, you could see what that's all about. If you don't, well, you can get one later. They're in the back and in the front foyer, okay? Anyway, so prayerfully, if you haven't seen the movie, or if you have and you really like it, come on out this Friday night at 7 and be encouraged by Courageous. Now, I know that we have dads and granddads and great-granddads here, and maybe even a great-great-granddad. I'm not really sure, but I've lost track anyway. And I also know that we have men here today who aren't dads for one reason or another. And I also know that we have plenty of others who don't even fall into the male category. So have no fear. Today won't be just a message for our dads or men. It will really be a message for all of us. It's a message, as Brian had already pointed out by song number 777, about having a courageous faith, especially about how we are to have a courageous faith that leads by example and that enables us to do the right thing no matter what. So let's go ahead and go back to our main text in the book of Joshua. And we're going to go ahead and read just the first 9 verses in Joshua chapter 1. And again, we'll start in verse 1. Joshua judges kings, right? There we go. There's Joshua. Joshua. Okay. I keep going back to Deuteronomy. There we go. Joshua chapter 1, first 9 verses. Bible says this. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous. What wonderful words of encouragement, you know? And as fathers, you know, we look back to our fathers, and they look back to their fathers and their fathers and so on and so on. Every boy who has taken the leadership position in their household as a man has looked back to their father as an example. Now, ultimately, we know that the best example of being a father is, of course, God, because, well, not every boy has had the necessary spiritual example to follow. Not all of us have been blessed in that area. And even if our parents were Christians, it isn't easy to be the spiritual leader. Single moms know that too, because they're trying to be a mom and a dad. It's hard work. It's hard work. It's hard to stand in our father's shoes, because the shoes of a spiritually courageous father is very, very big indeed. Now just try to imagine, if you will, that we're Joshua, and we've got to fill the shoes of Moses. Just try to imagine what it would be like to try to take the place of the man who spoke to God through a burning bush. How do you top that? Take the place of a man who could take his staff and cast it down and have it turn into a snake and then pick it up again, it becomes a staff again. Just try to imagine being the one to follow the man who could stretch out a staff and divide the Red Sea. A man that could bring water out of a rock when people were dying from thirst. That is a tough act to follow. It's hard to fit in those shoes. But not only that, but Joshua now finds himself the leader of a group of people known for not exactly their good qualities. You know, they're known for murmuring and complaining and they're backsliding. A people known for wishing they were back where they came from. And so God now looks at Joshua and says, "You're the man. You know, you're the guy." And, you know, "You're the guy, Joshua. There are things that still need to be done, and you're the guy that's going to do them." Think about it. Moses had led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage through many precarious situations, but now ahead of them, in sight, but just out of reach, is the land of promise. The promised land still to be claimed, but the inhabitants of the land still need to be defeated. And they have to be dislodged, you know. So just how will Joshua manage to do all that? Just what does Joshua need in order to fulfill this awesome task before him? The answer is that he needs, and he has, at the same time, we'll get to that in a second, the same thing that Moses needed and had, and that's courage. Joshua needs to be courageous. He needs to be the spiritual leader of a nation. And we think being the spiritual leader of our family is hard. Imagine being the spiritual leader of a nation. So, courage, courage. Now, in Joshua 1, we saw that the Lord encouraged Joshua 3 times to be strong and courageous. Now, that's easy to say. It is. Just did that, you know. But what does that mean? Lord, I'll be courageous. How? You know, how does that work? Well, let's try to keep things simple today and try to ask and answer 2 very basic questions. First of all is, what exactly is courage? And second is, how can we grow in courage? 2 good questions, I think. So, first one again, what is courage? What is courage? Well, we could simply open up a dictionary or turn to Google if we wanted to and find out that courage is defined as bravery, fearlessness, or fortitude. But spiritually, spiritual courage is knowing the right godly path, like we've been talking about from Proverbs in the auditorium class here on Sunday mornings, and not only knowing the right godly path, but choosing to walk that path, choosing to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light. It's choosing to walk the path of right, choosing the godly path over the worldly path, no matter what happens, you see. So being a spiritually courageous person, dads, you know, is the willingness to walk that path no matter how easy or how hard it's going to be. Being a spiritually courageous dad is doing what we know is right, when it needs to be done, no matter how hard it may be. That's pretty tough, really. Now, in our text in Joshua 1, the Lord is letting Joshua know that he has been chosen to be the new leader of the people of Israel. Personally, I would have preferred a general election and skip town. But anyway, he's going to be the new leader of the people of Israel. Again, Moses has been laid to rest, and the entire nation of Israel, millions strong, has spent 30 days in mourning for the man that God used to bring them up out of Egypt. Now, before we think, well, how dare God ask to pick Joshua for this job? You know? Well, we should remember that Joshua's appointment is not something that just came out of the blue. It wasn't drawn out of a lottery or anything like that. Joshua has been preparing for this leadership role some 40 years, Numbers chapter 11, verse 28. Remember that Joshua served as Moses' personal aide since his youth. and that Joshua was even chosen by Moses to lead the Israelites in their first battles just weeks after they left Egypt, Exodus 17, verse 9. And Joshua alone is the one who accompanies Moses up Mount Sinai as God gives Moses the law that the people are to live by, Exodus 24, verse 13. And so Joshua is chosen again to be one of the 12 spies who go to check out the promised land in Numbers 13, 16. And when they return, you'll remember it's only Joshua and Caleb that have the courage to enter the land. The other 10 are all full of fear, and sadly, the nation, they follow the fears of the other 10 and they refuse to enter the land that God promised them. And because of this, God takes Israel's lack of faith and declares that out of all of those who have left Egypt, only Joshua and Caleb will actually enter the promised land. And 40 years later, it's just Joshua and Caleb who lead the next generation across the Jordan River. Now, we don't know exactly why Joshua was chosen over Caleb to be the leader, but that's not really that important. What's important is that Joshua is given a task. He's given a task that is basically building a new nation out of a wandering mob, for better lack of words, you know. Needless to say, Joshua's got a tough job ahead of him. Think about it. He's got to keep order among a people who are notorious for being fickle and faithless. And so he'll need to keep them focused on the God who has brought them this far, and also on the mission that God has given them to accomplish. And assuming that Joshua manages that task, then he'll need to lead the conquest of a new land, which is populated by numerous powerful tribes, cities, and nations. Tough work. And that all involves everything from crossing a flowing river with millions of people, you know, to bringing down the walls of Jericho that tower over them. And assuming that Joshua manages to keep order and get the people all together, and he's able to conquer that new land, he's got another big task ahead of him, and that's leading the distribution of the land and wealth between everybody. You think it's hard trying to figure out who gets what slice of pie or cake in the house when you have something like that? Mine's smaller than his, you know. His is bigger than mine. And just imagine what it would be like if you had to divide up an area. I tried to do it in miles, but it's like too much, or actually feet or yards. I probably should have did miles. But 20,000 square kilometers among several hundred thousand families. To chop that all up and make sure everybody gets a good share that everyone's happy with. Sure, God sets it out, but still you've got to deal with those people that are busy whining about stuff. Why does he get the land with his life? Why does he get it? It's going to be crazy. I'd hate to have that job, you know? And so in order to do all of this, Joshua will need to be strong and courageous. But it's not only the Joshuas who need to be strong and courageous. We all need to be, right? Dads need to be. Moms need to be. We all need to be. You know, we may not all be national leaders, but we are national builders. We are people that help to build up our nation. And as children of God, we all live lives where courage is not optional anymore. It's essential. You see, it takes courage in our great land to work hard, especially when we live in a society nowadays that seems to reward those who take shortcuts and those who thrive off the efforts of others. Just think about how many jobs there are where courage is absolutely mandatory. For example, like in the movie, Courageous, they chose the police. The police need all kinds of courage. Then there are firefighters and health workers on all levels, teachers. Everybody, really. It takes courage. It takes courage to study, especially when cheating is downright epidemic at all levels of education, from kindergarten all the way up to graduate school. You want a doctor that's cheated on his test? You know? It takes courage to raise a child, or two or three. And once you're past two or three children, well, hey, you know, you need to be downright heroic, you know? So it even takes courage to be a kid. It does. Some kids can be very courageous and exemplify courage in ways that can leave us breathless. I happen to have stumbled upon a supposedly true story about a boy that they called Bill to hide his identity, back in Tennessee, who exemplified courage in a way that I really wanted to share with us today. It's a story written by his dad, so it's written by his father's perspective. So when he says, "my son," this is his dad talking about him, Bill. Okay? All right. Bill's dad writes, "I have two very active sons. Both are very active in soccer and generally all sports. They have always been rambunctious, and they get into arguments with each other. I guess most siblings do. One Thanksgiving evening, they were both at a neighbor's house playing basketball. My oldest son, Bill, and his buddy were playing with the younger kids, who range in age from 3 to 10. The neighbor had a mongrel, Great Dane, that was really massive. He was kept chained whenever the kids were playing outside and had never been a problem. My wife and I were in the den watching TV when we heard loud screaming outside. We were used to noise, but this time it was a shrieking sound. I went to the back door and saw Bill in the backyard of a second neighbor, holding his arm and bleeding. All the other children were gone, and the Great Dane was barking at my son through the fence. As I ran down the deck toward him, I could see my younger son, Jake, coming around the front of the house screaming. All the other children were gone. Bill was crying, but angry at the same time, and I couldn't tell how badly he was hurt. We took Bill to the hospital that night, and he had to have surgery to repair tendons in his forearm and hand. He was very worried about his hand and arm because of being a soccer goalie, but the doctors assured him that he would be all right after therapy. The next day, our neighbor and his oldest son came to the house and sat down to tell us what had happened. Somehow the dog had gotten loose from his chain and started to attack the little kids, including Jake. Bill caught the dog from behind, jumped on his back, and wrapped his arm around the dog's neck to hold him off. The neighbor's son then got the little kids out of the backyard and into the house. After they were safely inside, Bill tried to get away from the dog himself, but the dog came after him. Bill shielded himself with his forearm. He kept trying to get over the fence, but the dog kept pulling him back down. My neighbor then came out of his house and got the dog to let go of my son. Of course, by that time, his forearm was shredded and he couldn't get over the fence by himself. While our neighbor's son was telling us this story, Jake, that's Bill's younger brother, began to cry. He'd always looked up to Bill as an example for soccer, but he had never seen him as a willing sacrifice to help a pesky little brother. Suddenly, his big brother was someone who would risk his life for him. I think that's an amazing example of courage. You know, this kid, Bill, just over 10 years old, exemplified everything that we've come to call courage. You see, he knew what to do. He knew the risks involved. He knew he would lose his life, possibly, to this vicious, well, if you've seen a Great Dane and you're like, that's a horse, okay? You know, he knew what to do, and he knew the chances and the risks involved, but he chose to do right no matter what. No matter what. He becomes a hero, really, in a way. Now, being a courageous Christian is really the same thing. It's choosing the right path no matter what. And being a courageous Christian dad means choosing the right godly path, not only for ourselves, but for our family to follow too. So, that's what courage is. How do we grow in courage? Well, that's our second question we hope to answer. How do we grow in courage? Well, back in Joshua 1, remember that God exhorts Joshua to be courageous 3 times. And each time he also gives us a little clue as to how courage grows within us. First of all, we see that courage grows in us as we do the things which require it. I know that sounds a little contradictory, but think about it. Courage grows in us as we do the things which require it. Look back again at the first time that God calls Joshua to courage. It's Joshua 1:6. Joshua 1:6 says, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them." Look at that again. Look at the last two words in that verse. Look at the last few words, actually. What will Joshua lead these people to do? To inherit the land. That who again? That I, that's God, right? Swore to their forefathers to give them. You see, in verse 6, we see that Joshua is simply the conduit by which God is using to fulfill his promises. And God made that promise to his people a long, long time ago. And now he's using Joshua to fulfill his promise. And so you see, we can learn courage as we let God fulfill his promises through us. And believe me, it takes a lot of courage to let God work through us, especially us dads. Still remember that in all this, God says that he loves us. And as we let him love through us to other people, we will grow in courage and learn to love other people and ourselves. Now, I know, again, this all sounds a bit tricky to have to do things that require courage in order to grow in courage. But courage, again, is an action word. And we can't know courage, really, until we've tried something that requires it. Okay, so second, courage requires knowing what is the right thing to do in order to do it. Okay, courage requires knowing what is the right thing to do. Looking back at Joshua chapter 1 again, verses 7 and 8, we see that the next time that God calls Joshua to courage, he adds another dimension here. Joshua 1, 7 and 8 read this way. It says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." Think about it. If courage is the willingness, if courage is the readiness to do the right thing at the right time, no matter what, then we need to know, again, what the right thing to do is, you know? That's why God says, do not let this book of the law, do not let his word depart from our mouth. Meditate on it day and night. You see, in order to do the right thing, in order to know what is right, we need to read the manual. We need to read what's right. We need to look at our Bibles, you see. And that's why if you were a firefighter in the military, or maybe you're in athletics, what do? Well, they train, right? They train so they will know what to do when things happen. If you're a fireman and you train, you know, they do all those little exercises not to spend money and say, oh, hey, look, there's that guy practicing on a burn. No, they train so that they will know what to do when the fire is in front of them and how to handle it, you see. Their training consists of activity. They not only read about what to do, but they practice it and they study it and they work on it over and over again. And the Bible is the Christian's training manual for courage. And as we learn from it, we will know the right thing to do at the right time. And that is one step closer to being willing to do it. And that means that as Christian dads, especially, we need to be men of the book. You know, if we want our children to someday be in heaven with us, then we need to lead the way. And the way, again, is found in the book, God's Word. Okay, third, courage comes from trusting that God is with us wherever we go. Courage comes from trusting God and that he's with us wherever we go. Let's look at the next verse in Joshua 1. Joshua 1:9, we read the Lord saying this to Joshua. He says, "Have I not commanded you?" I flash to the Great Commission right about now, Matthew, you know, 28, 19, and 20. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Wow. Talk about inspiring confidence. That's really great to know, you know? Now, if there's one thing that sparks fear faster than anything else, I think it's being alone. You know, and I'll have to admit that of all the times that I have, ever been afraid, the most tangible times have been when I have felt alone. And I think you know what I'm talking about, maybe being alone in the house as a kid. I remember the first time I told my mom and dad, yeah, you could leave me at home alone. Where are you going, grandma's? What's the number? I called them like 5 minutes after they left. Anyway, you know, maybe being alone in the crowd as a teen, being bullied. Maybe being alone in the dark, in a quiet, dark church building late at night. That's spooky. No offense. Anyway, you see, God knew, though, that Joshua would feel pretty lonely in his role as a leader. And so he lets Joshua know that no matter how lonely you may feel, he is never really alone. God is always there with him. He's always there with us. Over in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10, David shares these encouraging words with us about the presence of God. Again, this is Psalm 139, 7 through 10. David writes, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." You see, God is always there with us, like with Moses, and like with Joshua, and like with David. And so there's no need to be terrified or discouraged. We can be strong and courageous because the Lord our God will be with us wherever we go. And that's true for every Christian. And it's true for every single dad, even when we go into uncharted territory. Everything from diaper changes to seeing our little girls grow up and get in prom dresses and worry about them, you know, or maybe our young men, the first time they get behind the wheel, you know. Be strong and courageous. God is with us. Well, to wrap things up today, let's remember that courage is something that we all need to grow in, because we all eventually face situations where doing what we know is right will be difficult, maybe even impossible on our own. But it's in those times, again, that our relationship with God will make all the difference in the world in how we conduct ourselves. And dads and granddads and great-granddads, men, you know, the encouragement for us today is to be spiritually courageous men, to be strong and courageous in our families as leaders, to not be terrified, and to not be discouraged. For the Lord our God will be with us wherever we go, so we are to make the right choices for our family. And if, as God's children, we want to know courage, then we must strive to let God work through us, you know, and strive to let His Word become a part of our lives seriously, and to study it, strive to learn His Word. And we must also trust in His continuing presence in our lives. And when we do those things, again, we will grow in our courage. And so this morning, be courageous. Be courageous. And if there's anyone here who is not yet a Christian, if you're not yet baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, then be courageous, you know. Come forward, confessing Christ as Lord and Savior. And upon your confession of faith, go ahead and change your ways, repent of your sins, and then be baptized in the watery grave, reenacting the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, Romans 6, 3, and 4, so that just as Christ was risen to a new life, we too may walk in newness of life with the promise of the resurrection when Jesus comes back again. And for those of us here who are Christians, well, the encouragement is to continue to grow in our courage for God, to make the right choices no matter what, and for dads especially to be courageous in leading their families home to God. So, if there's anyone who needs to come forward for prayer, praise, or to respond to the gospel of Christ, become a Christian today, then won't you come forward now as together we all stand and sing the song of encouragement.